B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Erevin Daf Samach Ches, and we're going to start 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Zayin Omud Beis. Says the Gemara, Hahu Yenuka d'ishtapich chamimei. There was a little baby boy, an 8-day-old boy, a baby, and the hot water they were going to use either before the bris or after the bris, but they were going to use some hot water for this baby, and the water spilt out. Omaluhu Rabba. So Rabba told the people that were responsible for this baby, we both share the same chotzer. In my home, I've got some hot water. Come to my house and take some hot water and bring it to the home where the baby is. So Omale Abaya told Rabba, but we haven't joined an Eruv. The home of the baby and your home is not, you didn't make an Eruv. Omar Le, so Rabbi said to him, Nismaich Ashituf. It's true that we didn't make an Eruve Chatzeros, but our Chotzer was part of the Shitufe Mavois, the Eruv that's made with all the Chatzeros sharing a common Mavoi, an alleyway, and that will be sufficient. We'll learn about that later on in the Masechta Mirtz Hashem. Omar Le, Abaya said to him, Holoi Shatfinon, but we didn't join the Shitufe Mavois either. Says Sir Rabba said, Neimrule Lenochri Laisule. Okay, so we have an issue. A Yisrael is not allowed to carry the water, it's obviously not Pikuach Nefesh. But you can ask a goy, tell a goy to come and take the water from my chotzer to the home of the baby. Omar Abaya said, Boyela Oisve Lemar. I had another question to ask against Rabba, even for this idea of asking a goy. Veleishovkon Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef did not allow me to question Rabba. The Omer Rav Yosef, Omer Rav Kahana, ki havinon bei Rav Yehuda. When I was in by Rav Yehuda, hava Omer lon, he would tell us, b'doiraisa, in matters of doiraisa, of biblical concerns and isurim, moisvinon tiuvta v'hoda of dinon maisa. Before anybody can act upon a ruling, anybody, if some Talmid has a question to ask against a ruling his Rebbe gave in issues which are concerning biblical halachas, before anyone listens to the ruling of the Rebbe, the Talmud should ask his question. Because we don't, chas v'shalom, want somebody to transgress a biblical issa. B'derabonon, however, in matters concerning Isurim derabonon, avdinon maisa. We first listen and follow out the ruling of the Rebbe, v'hadar misvinon tiyufta, and afterwards you can ask a question and possibly refute the ruling, since it's only concerning the Rabbonon, one does not have to ask all one's questions before allowing people to listen. And the Meforashim discuss why it should be this way. One's not allowed to transgress the Rabbonon either, but we're not going into that here. Lebasar hachi, omerle. After that, after they listened to what Rabbah said, and the goy brought the water from Rabbah's chotzer or home to the child, afterwards Rav Yosef said to Abaya, my boy is leisuvei lemar, I saw that you had a question to ask Rabbah, and I didn't let you ask. I wanted them first to follow the ruling, because carrying from one home to another within the chotzer without Eruv HaChatzeros is only a rabbinical issa. But now that they've done it, let's hear what your question was. Omar Le. So Abaya said to him, I had a question from a braisa. D'tanya, hazah shvus. We know that sprinkling the water, when somebody was a tomei mace, he became tomei because he touched a dead person or was under the same roof as a dead person, and now he needs to be sprinkled upon with the waters of with the ashes of the pora aduma. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. And we're going to see, even in the case of a mitzvah, for example, he has to bring a Korban Pesach, and you cannot bring a Korban Pesach unless you've been purified. And since it's Shabbos, they could not sprinkle on him. We say, even in that case, we don't sprinkle on him. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. V'amira l'nochri, there's another Issa, which is Osar on Shabbos, and also only a rabbinical Issa, and that is telling a goy to do a melocha for a Yisrael. You're not allowed to tell a goy, do a melocha for me. That's called Amira Lenochri, speaking to a goy. Shvus, it's also a midrabanon, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Shvus means rest, don't do it. And so Abaya says, Ma hazor shvus. In the same way as sprinkling is only an osa derabbanon. Ve'ein edoiches haShabbos, and one is not allowed to do it on Shabbos, even if it's at the expense of doing a mitzvah, like we said, korban Pesach. Af amira lenochri, so too, regarding telling a goy to do a melacha, shvus, you're not allowed to do it. Ve'ein edoiches haShabbos, and you're not allowed to do it even if you want to do it for a mitzvah. So since amira la'akum is osa, how could you, Rabba, tell me to tell the goy to take the water from your home to the home of this little baby? And the reason it's compared to a dvar mitzvah is because they obviously needed this water in order to be able to do the bris milah. It wasn't just for the fun of it. And we see that in the same way as a person is going to lose the opportunity of doing the Korban Pesach on time because we're not allowed to sprinkle on Shabbos, so too this baby's bris milah would have to be pushed off for the next day because, and we're not allowed to tell a goy to do a melacha for you. Omar le, so Rav Yitzchak answered to Abaya, v'lo yishoni lecha bein shvus te'iz be'maisa leshvus te'les be'maisa. Why are you comparing the shvus of telling a goy to do something and the shvus of sprinkling? The shvus of sprinkling involves doing an act, an activity of sprinkling, which is also on Shabbos. So we say that you cannot do, even if it's going to be at the expense of a mitzvah. However, if you don't have to do anything, you're just telling the goy to do something, then that should be much more lenient. And therefore, Rabba's ruling was okay that you could tell the goy to bring the water in order that they can do the bris milah. That's how Rabbeinu Chananel here explains this Gemara. Dohamar lo omri lenochri zil achim. And the literal translation of these words is that the master Rabba didn't tell the goy to actually go and heat up the water, we just told the goy to bring the water. And according to the way we explained it, Rabbeinu Chananel, there's no place for these words, because what's the difference if you told the goy to heat up the water or you just told the goy to bring the water from one home to another in a chotzer in the absence of an eruv? According to the way Rabbeinu Chananel explained, when it says delest be'maisa, it means that we didn't do an act, we just did a speaking, we just told the goy to do something. And indeed, some take out these words. The Rif in Maseches Shabbos explains this Gemara a bit differently. The Rif says when it says de'is be'maisa and delest be'maisa, it doesn't mean whether we did an act, for example, sprinkling, or we didn't do an act, we just verbally told, gave instructions to a goy. What it means is, maisa means a melacha min hatayra. Are we telling the goy to do a melacha min hatayra, or are we not telling him to do a melacha min hatayra? And we would read the Gemara as follows: V'lo ishoni loch, do you not differentiate bein shvus to is be'maisa, between the issa d'rabbonon of telling a goy to do something which is is be'maisa, which would be a melacha min hatayra if a Yisrael would do it, for example, telling him to heat up the water, l'shvus to les be'maisa, and when telling a goy to do a melacha, which even if the Yisrael would do it, it would not be an issa d'raisa, it would only be an issa d'rabbonon, for example, taking water from one home to another in a chotzer, in the absence of an eruv. And then we would read the words, which is in our Gemara, Dahamar le omar le nochri zil eicham. Rabbi didn't tell the goy, tell the goy to heat up the water. That would be called the shvus to isbe maisa, and would be compared to sprinkling, which would be asa, even if it would mean delaying the mitzvah of mila. However, since he just told him to take the water from Rabbi's chotzer to the or home to the home of the baby, that is okay. Continues the Gemara. Omar le Rabbi bar Avchanon labaya. Mevoyo de ispe tre gavre ravavin krabonon. Rabbi Bar Bachonon, who heard what was going on here, that there was this problem, the water had spilt, and Abaya approached Rabbi, and Rabbi told him to bring the water, and Rabbi said, there's no eruvei chatzeris, there's no shitufei mevoyis. So Rabbi Bar Bachonon commented to Abaya, a mevoy that's got tre gavre ravrava, that's got two great rabbis like yourself, krabonon, like you, Rabbi, and Abaya, living in the same chotza, in the same mevoy, loy lahave be loy eruv loy shituf, does it make sense that you have not done Eruvei Chatzeros or Shitufei Mevoyis? And this is a sort of standalone comment that I was just wondering, why is there no Eruv? And you see from here that it's actually virtuous and advisable that there should be an Eruv wherever possible. Omar Le, Abaye answered back to Rabbi Bar Rav Chanon, my neved, what could we do? My master, Rabbi, lav urche. It was not proper for him to go round and collect the food for the Eruv. Ano, I Abaye, toridna begirsoi. I'm very busy with my learning, with my studies, and so I'm too busy to go around collecting it. Inhu, all the other residents of the Mavui, loy mashkecha, they do not care if there's a Mavui or not. Ve'i aknelei pito besalo. Abaye says, if I were to transfer ownership of some of the bread in a basket, that means Abaye says, I've got bread in my house, I don't need to go around collecting bread for everyone, I can just be makne for them, I can transfer ownership in this bread to all the people in the Mavui. And then that would seem like a good idea, and it would not be at the expense of his learning. He says, Kiven di boilo minoi, since if somebody in the Mavui would actually come to me on Shabbos and say, can I have some of the bread in your basket, lo efshe leisven nehalei, I will not be able to give it to him every Shabbos, I wouldn't be able to give him from the food that I have in my baskets. And therefore, bitul shituf, and therefore the entire shitufei mavois is invalid. D'tanya, because we learnt in a braisa, echod mibnei mavui. If one of the members, one of the residents of the mavui, shebikesh yayin v'shemen, and he requested some of the oil or wine that was used to make the shitufei mavois, v'loi nosnu lo, and they do not give it to him, bottle shituf, the shituf becomes invalid. So Abaye says, I will not be able to give the bread in my basket to whoever comes to the door, and therefore the shitufei mavois is going to be invalid. And therefore, we're left with a situation where there's no Eruv in these chatzeris. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chanan is now asking Abaye, offering him another suggestion. So it's true that you don't use the bread in your baskets because you will not be able to give it to somebody who comes asking for it. But why don't you just do the same thing, transfer the ownership, but not from the bread, but of a revias of vinegar in one of your barrels? You have a barrel and of vinegar, you're using whatever you're using of it, but one little revias you'll leave over, will definitely be left for the year, the next year. Just make the vinegar, the revias of vinegar, belong to everybody, and thereby that will be the Eruv, the Eruv Chatzeres, the Shitufei Mavois, and there'll be no problem if somebody comes to ask you for it. You won't have a problem giving somebody a bit of vinegar. And Abaye didn't accept that. Tanya ein mishtatfin bo'itza. Abaye says that one cannot make a shitufei mavois, one cannot make an eruv with food which is actually stored. Typically, when one uses food from within storage, one doesn't intend to use the entire food for the shitufei mavois or eruvei chatzeris. All we intend to do is a certain small section or part of the food is designated for the eruv. And we don't know exactly which part of the food within the storehouse is designated for the eruv. And we could say, and that's going to depend on a concept of Breira. If you say that whatever I decide in the 6 months from now, in a year from now, when I finish eating all the rest of the food in the storage, whatever is left, that will be the part of the food that was always intended to be the Eruv. That's called Yesh Breira. Then it's okay. But if you don't hold of Breira, then you have a problem. Because that means that right from the beginning, we assume that whichever food is for the Eruv is already been designated and it could be in any place. You can't choose later and say, this is what was initially chosen. Because in Breira, which means that any part of this food could really be the part which is for the Eruv. And since the owner of this storage house is constantly removing some food or drink from the storage, in this case Abaye, he's constantly taking away some of his vinegar. So if you say Yesh Breira, then that's okay. Then you can assume that the last bit of vinegar, the last revias of vinegar, that will be the Eruv, and it will be then determined that that was always the Eruv. And then it's okay, you can use this vinegar for whole years of Eruv, or however long it's going to last. But if you don't hold of Breira, then the first time that Abaye takes away a bit of vinegar, he may have removed the vinegar of the Eruv, and from that point on, the Eruv is invalid. So Abaye says, I cannot, you don't give me an idea to set aside a revius of vinegar in the barrel. The braisa says, ein mishtatfin bo'itza, because we don't hold of breira, and therefore you cannot use food in a storage for an eruv. Asks the Gemara, v'otanya mishtatfin. In another braisa we said explicitly that you can use food in storage for an eruv. Omer Ravoisha, Ravoisha actually said, lo ikashya. It's not a contradiction. Habis Shammai, Habis Hillel. Beis Shammai actually says that ain breira, and indeed one cannot use any food in storage for an eruv. But Beis Hillel say yesh breira, and since they say yesh breira, you should be able to use food in storage for an eruv. Where do we find this machloikas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? And assuming that it's a machlokes whether yesh breira or ein breira, ditnan, we learnt in a Mishnah, and we actually learnt about this earlier on in Maseches Eruvin. Hameis babayis, if you have a dead body, a corpse in a home, veloi psochim harbe, and there are a number of exits from the home, either windows 4x4 tvochim or doorways, and the corpse could actually leave the home from any one of those doors or windows. At the moment, all the doors and windows are closed. It has not yet been decided from where the corpse is going to leave. And no action has been taken, no window or door has been opened as if to say, from here, the corpse is going to leave. Kulon tumein. Then even though, according to the halachas of Tumah, the parts of the door frames, or under the door frames, within the door frames, on the other side of the door, on the outside of the door, are not considered to be under the same roof as the corpse, or in the same house as the corpse, and therefore any kelim, food or kelim that are there, should remain tohir. However, there's a halacha that says that because potentially the corpse could leave from there, we assume the area underneath and within the window frame and door frames to be tomei, and any kelim that are there become tomei. Kulam tomeim. Niftach achat mem. If any one of the doors or windows are actually opened as if a decision has been made, from here the mace is going to leave, hu tomei, then that particular door or window, the door frame, the area under the door frame is going to be tomei. The kulam tahirin, but all the other doors and windows are going to remain tohir, because we assume that the mace will leave from the door or window that's either been or opened already or has been decided upon. Once they decided to take the mace out of one particular door, or from a window that is open, a 4x4 tvachim, has the size of 4x4 tvachim, matzil es kol apsochim kulam. Then it actually saves all the other doors and windows, and those doors, door frames and window frames are no longer tomei. Beshamay umrim, Beshamay hold, v'hu shechishev ad shelo yomus hamis. That's all true if the decision was made to from which door or window the corpse is going to leave the house before the corpse died, and then the tumah actually never made anything, it never left it was any other doors or windows, and then we say that all the any kalim under the other door frames or window frames are tohir. If no decision was made before the person died, then all the other door frames and window frames are tomei, and from that point on, the halacha of soif tomelotzeis is only going to be released from all the other doors and windows, not when a cognitive decision is made, but when one of the doors or windows are actually actively opened to allow the corpse out. From that point on, the other doors and windows no longer have the problem of soif tomelotzeis. But if you decided before the person died, then there was never any such tumah under any of the other doors or windows. Beis Hillel Oimrim, Beis Hillel say, Afka Shiyomus Hamis. Even if after the person died, it was decided which window or door was going to release the corpse, then we say that from the very start, this was the door or window that was going to release the mace. And we say that from the start, all the kalim that were under the windows and doors, other than this one, are also tohir. So what do we see from here? We see clearly that Beis Hillel say that there's a concept called yesh breira, that something you do and decide later will determine what was its status right from the start. Beis Shammai say no. Beis Shammai say that if the person actually died, then even if you're going to decide later which door or window to release the corpse from, nonetheless, the tumah is going to stay on all those kelim that were there before the decision was made. So coming back to our case here with the mavui, with the eruv, that according to Beis Hillel, indeed one can make an eruv with some food in storage, because whatever's going to be left at the end will be determined later that that's what was always the intended food for the eruv. Beis Shammai say we don't say that, and when you designate some food within storage for an eruv, it could be any of the food there. Removing part of it may be ruining and destroying the eruv, and therefore the Braisa says that that's the other Braisa that says that you cannot use food in storage for a shituf, for an eruv or shituf emuvois. Continues the Gemara. Hahu yenuka. Again, there was a story with this 8-day-old baby, the ishtapuch chamimei, that his hot water that was heated up for him got spilt. Omaluhu Rava. So Rava told them, nishai leili imei itzricha. Ask the mother who gave birth 8 days earlier, if she needs hot water for her health. If she does, then necham le nochri agav imei. Then we know the halacha is that if a woman from after 7 days after birth needs hot water, a Yisrael cannot heat it up for her because it's not a chayla sheyesh bo sakana, but a goy is allowed to heat up water for her. So we say, since the goy is heating it up for the mother, he can add a little bit more water for the child as well. Rav Masharshi asked Rava, Eima ka'ochra tamra. You want to know about the mother? The mother is eating dates. If she's well enough to eat cold dates, then she clearly doesn't need hot water. Omar Lei, so Rava said back to Rav Masharshi, no, Eimer tunva ba'almahu denokitla. It could be that she's so not stable that she doesn't actually know what's going on with her, and she's not aware of what she should or shouldn't be eating, so she took in some dates. However, if we were to ask her, are you well enough, or do you need some hot water for yourself, she may clearly say, I need hot water, and therefore you should ask her, and that way you'll be able to heat up water for the baby. Continues the Gemara, a third similar incident. Hahu yenuka, there was this baby, d'ishtapi chamimei, that the hot water that was designated for him had got spilt. Omalu Rava. So Rava, who he lived in a chotzer, which was adjoining the chotzer where this baby was, that means there was a home with the baby. From that home, there was a chotzer belonging to that home where the baby was. Flash, or next to, adjacent to that chotzer, was another chotzer, which was Rava's chotzer. And there was obviously a doorway going between the two chatzeres. And then from Rava's chotzer was Rava's home. And it so happens that Rava's home had two sections. There was an outer section, which was closer to the chotzer, which is where the men would typically hang out. And then there was an inner chambers that were not directly adjacent to the chotzer. And that was a little bit more modest inside. And that's where the women would stay. So Omalu Rava. So Rava said to the people that came and complained and said that the child in the other chotzer, they don't have any water. So Rava said, Panuli mone mi bei gavra le bei noshi. First and foremost, take all the kalim, all the utensils in the outer rooms where the men would be, the bei gavra, the men's rooms, and bring it into the rooms in further in the house, which is where the women would be. Ve'ezel, ve'ez, ve'esev hosam. And I, Rava, I'll go into the inner chamber and I'll go and rest and stay there for the rest of Shabbos. And we'll soon see that the reason he did that was because he was about to relinquish his rights in his own chotzer, and he didn't by mistake want to take anything from the men's chambers out into the chotzer. So he first took all his utensils into the inner chambers, followed by himself. Ve'ivatil lehu ha'chotzer, and I will relinquish my rights to my chotzer to them, and from that point they can carry anything from the chotzer, from Rava's chotzer, into their chotzer, because I've relinquished my rights to them, and now the two chatzeres both belong to them, and you can do that. And the hot water was obviously in the chotzer. Well, this we'll see later on in the Gemara, whether it could be that even the water was in Rava's home. That depends if when a person relinquishes his rights to his chotzer, does he also mean to relinquish his rights in his home? And if he does, then the people in the other chotzer can actually take things even out of his home. But let's assume for now at least that the water was in the chotzer, and relinquishing his rights in the chotzer should certainly have achieved that goal, that they can take the water from his chotzer to theirs. Omale Ravina Larava. Ravina said to Rava, V'homa Shmuel. Do you not know that Shmuel says, Ein bitl reshus michotzer lechotzer? You're trying to relinquish your rights in your chotzer to the people in the other chotzer. We learnt about this extensively. Shmuel says you cannot be mevatel your reshus from one chotzer to another chotzer. So how are you, Rava, planning to do that here? Omer le, so Rava said to him, Anok Rabbi Yochanan Svirali, I actually hold like Rabbi Yochanan, who says, the Omer, yesh bitl michotzer lechotzer, you can even relinquish your rights in one chotzer to the people in another chotzer. Now Ravin is asking, V'iloy sovar lo marka Shmuel, you mean you, Rava, do not hold of Shmuel? Right, well, there's another Shmuel that you probably don't hold of. And if you don't hold of that other Shmuel, then I've got a little bit of a question on you. Nesav mar beduchte, you Rava, you took all your utensils out of the men's chambers, you brought it into the house, you yourself went into the house. Why? You did that because you're about to relinquish your rights in your chotzer to them. And you're going to assume that for the rest of Shabbos, you and your utensils mustn't your utensils mustn't go into the chotzer, and so that you shouldn't by mistake come to take them out, you removed all your utensils from those rooms. Well, that's only true in the event that when you relinquish your rights, it's going to stay that way the whole of Shabbos. However, that itself is a machlekes Rav and Shmuel. And if you hold of Shmuel, then I can understand that why you did this, because according to Shmuel, once you relinquish your rights to somebody else, there's no way you can get those rights back on Shabbos. However, according to Rav, who argues with Shmuel, he says that in the same way as you can relinquish your rights to them at one point in Shabbos, they can then relinquish those rights back to you sometime in the middle of Shabbos. And from that point on, you'll be able to carry in your chotzer. Nesav mar beduchte, why don't you, Rava, stay exactly in the outer chambers where you were? V'nevatil leiludide, relinquish your rights to those people in the chotzer just for a few minutes. V'nehadri inu, and then afterwards those people will relinquish those rights, v'nevatle leilemar, and will relinquish them back to you. And from that point on, you'll be able to carry into your chotzer. No need to panic and worry that you're going to forget and take some utensils out. It's just for a few minutes, just to give them enough time to take the water from your reshus to theirs. The Omar Rav, did Rav, who argues with the Shmuel, not say, Mevatlin v'choizinu mevatlin? One can relinquish one's rights and afterwards they can be relinquished back to its original owners? So Rav answers, no. Ano b'hok Shmuel svirale. The Omar ein mevatlin v'choizinu mevatlin. Even though I don't agree with Shmuel regarding mevatil mirashus lirashus, michotzer lechotzer, I hold on like Rabbi Yochanan, that you can be mevatil from one chotzer to another chotzer, not like Shmuel, but I do agree with Shmuel that once you mevatil, you cannot get it back. Asks Ravina, v'lav chad taimahu? Are the two alochas, the alocha of relinquishing your rights from one chotzer to another, and the halacha of being able to be chayzer umevatel, are they not dependent on each other? Are the two Shmuels not the same logic, the same thought process? How can you argue with Shmuel on one side and agree with Shmuel on the other side? My tama ein mevatlin v'chayzer umevatlin. Because what's the reasoning behind what Shmuel says, that once you relinquish your rights, you cannot get them back? Is it not love? Is it not mishum dekiven de batle lirushusei istalek le mehocha legamri vehavale kaben chotzer acheres vein bitl rushus michotzer lechotzer? Is the way we're supposed to understand this? Is it not that once you relinquish your rights to somebody else, you have so far removed yourself from the rights and from that chotzer that getting it back would be compared to the rights being given from one chotzer to another chotzer? So the same Shmuel that says that you can't, relinquish rights from one chotzer to another chotzer, that's the very reason that when you relinquish your rights, even in the same chotzer, If you relinquish your rights and your chotzer to your neighbor, you cannot get it back. Why can you not get it back? Because once you relinquished your rights, you do not belong to this chotzer anymore. And if you do not belong to this chotzer, ein mevatlin michotzer lechotzer. So how can you say that I hold like Rabbi Yochanan that is mevatl michotzer lechotzer, but I agree with Shmuel that once you mevatl, you cannot get it back? It's the same logic. If you hold that mevatlin michotzer lechotzer, there's no reason in the world that once you've relinquished your rights, you shouldn't be able to get them back. So if so, mar nami lo mevatil. If so, that if you hold like the second Shmuel that says that once you're mevatl, you cannot get it back, it's only because you hold that you cannot be mevatl michotzer lechotzer. If so, how can you relinquish your rights to them? They're in a different chotzer. So Rava answers, no. Hosom hainu tama, the reason that you cannot get your rights back is not because once you give away your rights, you're like in a different chotzer, and michotzer lechotzer, you cannot transfer rights. No. I hold of Rabbi Yochanan that from one chotzer to the next, you can transfer and relinquish rights from one chotzer to the other. Nonetheless, I hold that you can, once you relinquish your rights, you cannot get them back. Why? If you would be allowed to relinquish your rights and then 2 minutes later get it back, you're making a joke out of a decree of the Chachomim. The Chachomim says that you have a problem, you have a chotzer, you haven't made an Eruv, relinquish your rights and let the people who have made an Eruv, or whatever the halachas are, let them get on with it. But you're going to dance backwards and forwards and say 5 minutes, that is, I am part of the chotzer, 5 minutes, you're not part of the chotzer, then you haven't really totally let go of the chotzer, you're making a joke of the Chachomim. Therefore, even though michotzer lechotzer you can relinquish rights, but once you've relinquished your rights, that's the status you keep till the end of Shabbos. Continues the Gemara Gufa. We saw machlokes a few moments ago between Rav and Shmuel, whether mevatlin v'choizrin or mevatlin, which means once I relinquish my rights, can they give them back to me on the same Shabbos or not? It's a machlokes Rav or Shmuel. Rav says that you can, Shmuel says you can't. Gufa, Rav Omar mevatlin v'choizrin or mevatlin, or Shmuel Omar ein mevatlin v'choizrin or mevatlin. Shmuel says, once you've been mevatl, you cannot get your rishus back this Shabbos. So now the Gemara is suggesting, and the Gemara is going to do this twice now, till the end of the sugya. There's going to be two machlokes tanoims, and in twice the Gemara is going to say, maybe the machlokes Rav and Shmuel is actually dependent on a machlokes tanoim. And we don't really like a machlokes amiroim being dependent on machlokes tanoim, because that means that each amira is only following one tana. And the Gemara right through Shas often tries to explain how any one amira can actually follow either of the Tanoim. So the Gemara is going to ask now, Lema, should we say that Rav or Shmuel, the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, whether Mevatlin, Mechoizin or Mevatlin, or Ein Mevatlin, Mechoizin or Mevatlin, is actually dependent, Beplukta de Rabbonon and Rabbi Eliezer Komifligi. Is a Machlokes the Rabbonon and Rabbi Eliezer? And this is something we're going to learn about a bit later, that the Rabbonon say that if a person relinquishes his rights in his Chotza, has he relinquished his rights in his home as well? So the Rabbanon say, no, I relinquished my rights in the chotzer. What's the problem here? The problem is we have a chotzer, we haven't got an Eruv, so the fact that I'm part of the chotzer and I'm not part of the Eruv is a problem. I'll relinquish my rights in the chotzer, and now the rest of the people in the chotzer, or whoever wants to use the chotzer, depending on the circumstances, are allowed to do so on Shabbos. But my home was never the problem, and therefore the home is not part of the rights I relinquished, which means that even after I relinquish my rights, and the other people can carry from my chotzer to theirs, they can carry within this chotzer, they cannot carry from my home to the chotzer, because the home remains mine, and since I didn't make an Eruv, my home is, you cannot take from my home to the chotzer. That's the Rabbonon. Rabbi Eliezer says that when you relinquish your rights to the chotzer, you've also relinquished your rights in your own home. And and that means the halachic ramification of that is that the other people who can use the chotzer can also carry from your home, because your home, together with your chotzer, the rights of it have been relinquished to them. So the Gemara is now saying, maybe Rav de Omar Karabonon. Rav says that Mevatlin v'choizrin u'mevatlin. What does it mean, Mevatlin, choizrin u'mevatlin? It means that even after I've relinquished my rights, it's not to the nth degree. I've still got something in it, which means I can still get it back. So that would seem to follow what the Rabbonon say, and the Rabbonon say, I relinquished my rights to my chotzer, but I still have rights to my home. That means my relinquishing is not to the end, it's not to the nth degree. It would seem to follow the same logic. Ushmuel to Omar Kreb Eliezer. Shmuel that says that Ein Mevatlin Mechoizin Mevatlin, he holds that once you relinquish your rights in a chotzer, you no longer have any connection to that chotzer to the extent that they cannot even give it back to you. He's obviously always suggesting that he's following Reb Eliezer. Reb Eliezer says that when you relinquish your rights in the chotzer, you've also relinquished your rights from your home, which means you've totally disassociated yourself from the chotzer, and therefore they cannot give it back to you on Shabbos. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. Says the Gemara, no. Omer l'chor Rav. Rav says that it's true that the logic that I, Rav, say mevatlin mechoizin mevatlin seems to go hand in hand with the Rabbonon who say that I was mevatl the reshus of my chotzer, not the reshus of my home. However, I can even hold like Reb Eliezer. Even though I say mevatlin mechoizin mevatlin, which means that I still can hold on to it somehow, and even though I've relinquished my rights, they can give it back to me on Shabbos, nonetheless, I can hold of what Reb Eliezer says, that when I give away my chotzer, I've relinquished my rights to my home as well. Why? For a side logic. Not because I don't belong to this chotzer anymore, which would be Ein Mevatlin V'Choizin U'Mevatlin. No. Mevatlin V'Choizin U'Mevatlin, and I still have some handle in the chotzer. Nonetheless, the rights I've relinquished are also applied to my home. Why? Ad kan loy ka'omer Reb Eliezer ha'osam, because the logic of Reb Eliezer is only that ha'mevatel rishus chatzeroi, rishus beisoi bittel. Why? Why does Reb Eliezer say that? For a side logic, a side reasoning. Mishum de bebayis b'loy chotzer loy dairi inchi. There's no such thing as a home without a chotzer. People don't live in a home without a chotzer. So in as much as I relinquished my rights to the chotzer, I've also relinquished my rights to the home. But to what extent have I relinquished my rights to the chotzer and the home? Le'inyonista lukei mi omar, who says that I've removed myself to such a degree from my home and chotzer to the extent that I cannot get it back on Shabbos? No, mevatlin v'choizinu mevatlin, but all the while that I've relinquished my rights, I've done it from the chotzer as well as the house. Shmuel Omar. Shmuel, who says, Ein mevatlin v'choizin mevatlin. So, of course, that seems to work well with Reb Eliezer, who says that somebody who relinquishes his rights from the chotzer does so from his house himself, also seemingly totally disassociating himself from the chotzer. And that would explain why Ein mevatlin v'choizin mevatlin. But Shmuel says it doesn't have to be that way. Because I can say Ein mevatlin v'choizin mevatlin, and I can still hold of the Rabbonon who say that when I give away my chotzer, I didn't give away my house. Ad kan lo ka'om Rabbonon hosom. When the Rabbonon say that when I give away my chotzer, I didn't mean to give away the house, elo maid botil, botil. I relinquished the rights of my chotzer. That's all I did. Maid loy botil, loy botil. And I did not relinquish the rights in my home, and therefore my home is still mine. Avol maid botil. But the home, but the chotzer that I did relinquish, mio istalka legamri. From there, I've disassociated myself completely, and therefore, ein mevatlin v'choizrin u'mevatlin. Continues the Gemara, and now we're going to try and depend the same machlekas Rav and Shmuel, if mevatlin v'choizrin u'mevatlin or not, on a different machlekas tanoim. Omer of Achel bar Chano, Omer of Sheshes. Ketanoi, are they arguing in the same reasoning as the following tanoim? We learnt in the Braisa, mi shenosan reshusai, v'hoitzi, bein b'shoigig, bein b'meizid, oyser. What happens if somebody relinquished his rights to the other people in the chotzer or to another chotzer, depending on the circumstances, and now he's not allowed to carry in his chotzer? And he went on Shabbos and he carried in the chotzer as if it was his, as if telling everybody, I've taken my rights back. Then, of course, if he does it b'meizid, he does it intentionally. Since he didn't actually lease or sell his rights, then if you intentionally go and start using the chotzer, you've made it clear that you've taken back by force your part in the chotzer. And anything, any rights you relinquished have returned to you. That's clear. However, the question is, if by mistake you went out, this person went out and used his chotzer. So what does it say there? Misha nosan reshusoi. If somebody gave permission, he relinquished his rights to somebody else, v'hoitzi, and you then carried in the chotzer that he'd already relinquished his rights. Bein b'shoigig, bein b'mezid, not only if he does it intentionally, where he's clearly regained ownership on his part of the chotzer, and obviously from that point on, he's limited and destroyed any eruv or restricted the use of the chotzer for anybody, but even if he did it b'shoigig, unintentionally, he's reclaimed his part in the chotzer, and he's asid, he's restricted the use of the chotzer for everybody else. Divrei Reb Meir, that was the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda argues with Reb Meir and says, "Bemezid oiser, if he does it intentionally, then he's clearly regaining his own part in the chotzer. Of course, he's going to restrict it for everybody else. There's no eruv here. But b'shoigeg, if he by mistake, unintentionally, he uses the chotzer, eino oiser." Then he does not, even though he used the chotzer, he does not restrict and aser the eruv of the chotzer for everybody else. My love, b'hok miflugas, Reb Acha bar Chono is saying, can we not assume that the machlokes Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda is actually the same machlokes as Rav Shmuel? And it would go as follows, that the reason that according to Reb Meir, if somebody uses his chotzer or that chotzer by mistake, that he's regained his part in the chotzer, thereby now restricting the use of the chotzer for everybody on Shabbos, is only because he didn't entirely disassociate himself from that chotzer. And that's why, even by mistake, he can regain his part in the chotzer. And that seems to follow what Rav says, mevatlin v'choizin u'mevatlin. But Reb Yehuda says that if you just by mistake used it, then since you didn't intend to regain your part in the chotzer, then we say that you have so much disassociated yourself from the chotzer when you did relinquish your rights, then if you by mistake use it, you don't get your rights back. That seems to follow what Shmuel says, that when a person relinquishes his rights, he does it in an extreme way to the point of ein mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin. Demarasova mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin. Rav Meir holds like Rav that mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin. Umarasova, and Rabbi Yehuda holds in mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin, that he, like Shmuel, that once you relinquished your rights, you cannot get them back. Answers the Gemara. Omer Rav Acha bar Tachlifa mishmei de Rava. Rav Acha bar Tachlifa, who said in the name of Rava, says no. The Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir is not actually whether they're following Rabbi Yehuda's logic or Rav's logic or Shmuel's logic as to how extreme the disassociation is when one relinquishes one's rights. No, loy. De kule alma ein mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin. Both Tanoim are following what Shmuel said, that the halacha is ein mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin, which means that when a person relinquishes his rights, he does it in an extreme way. However, so what's the machlekes? So we can understand what Rabbi Yehuda says, that b'shoigeg, you didn't regain your part in the chotzer, because since it was just by mistake that you used it, and when you relinquished your rights, you did it, like Shmuel says, to the nth degree, ein mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin, so we can understand that b'shoigeg, you don't get your rights back, you do not restrict the chotzer for everyone else. However, Reb Meir, who says that even b'shoigeg, if you used it, from that point on, no one else is allowed to use it, that is also agrees with Shmuel, that in truth, because of the extent that you relinquished your rights, if you just used it b'shoigeg, you should not really get it back, and it should not be osa. However, we made a knas. V'hocha b'kontzu shoigeg otu mezid komifligi. And actually arguing on a different discussion altogether, and that is whether we're going to knas, give a type of a punishment, a type of decree we're going to make, that when carrying b'shoigeg, otu mezid, in order to keep you away from intentionally carrying in a reshus that you've relinquished your rights from, so we punish the person and say that even if you did it b'shoigeg, what you're actually going to do is you're going to destroy the eruv for everybody else. for everybody. Mal sovar konsu shoygig otu mezid. Reb Meir holds that they made this knas of shoygig otu mezid, and that's why, even if you used it just b'shoygig, you're actually destroying it for everybody else. Or Mal sovar, Reb Yehuda holds, no, loy konsu shoygig otu mezid, they did not make such a knas. And since they both hold, like Shmuel, that when you relinquish your rights, you relinquish it completely, therefore, according to Reb Yehuda, if you used it just b'shegig, you don't get your rights back, and therefore it does not restrict the use of the chotzer for everybody else. Continues the Gemara, Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi says that Rav or Shmuel beplukta jablezev rabbonon kamifligi, like we saw at the beginning of the Gemara previously, Rav Ashi actually holds that the machloikas, Rav and Shmuel, whether mevatlin, mechozin, or mevatlin or not, is dependent on the machlokes between Reb Elezer and the Chachomim, that whether when you relinquish your rights in the Chotzer, do you automatically also relinquish your rights from your home? That Rav, who says mevatlin, mechozin, or mevatlin, he holds that when you give away your home, when you give away your chotzer, you do not give away your home, which means you still have some association to the chotzer, and therefore mevatlin mechozin and mevatlin. And Shmuel holds like Reb Elezer, who says that when you relinquish your rights to the chotzer, you also relinquish your rights to the home. You have no more association to the chotzer, and therefore ein mevatlin mechozin and mevatlin, says Shmuel. Once you've relinquished your rights, you do not get them back. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.